Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for choosing to worship with us and be here with us. If you're online, thank you for being with us today. We look forward to you being back in here with us. If you are here today and you're a guest, we have guests all the time in our services, and so we're thankful for you being here. Right in front of you, there's a little blue card. I would encourage you, I would ask you, would you mind pulling that card out, get that pen that's by it, and just fill out that. You can drop it in the offering box on the wall as you leave out, or you can give it to me. I would love to be able to meet you. I'll be back out the doors and to the left there at the Pastor's Connection. You can speak to me or CJ. We'll both be there. You know, you've all of us have come here today expecting something. All of us came, and we're expecting one, well, because I came with mom or dad, I'm going to get a lunch this afternoon. I came today, maybe this is the first time you've been to church, and who knows when. Maybe this is your very first time to ever be here, and something happened, and you thought, I ought to go to church. It's Easter. This is when I go to church, when people do that. I ought to go do that. Maybe you're here today because a spouse said, hey, the kids are going. Let's us go with them. Whatever your reason for being here, I want to say this. Thank you for being here. Every Sunday morning, we meet right here at 9 and 10:45, and we would love for you to be here and be a part of what's going on. We believe that the death of Christ and his resurrection has changed everything. Amen. Everything. And the reason that we're here is on a day that's celebrated as Easter is not because there's a bunny who hid eggs and we're going to go do all kinds of things like that. The reason that we're here today is because Jesus Christ is alive. He was crucified on a cross, put in a grave, in a tomb, but today he is alive because he is resurrected. You know, there's a lot of resuscitations that have happened. People who maybe they died on an operating table or something along those lines, and then they were brought back to life, but you realize they've died again. I'm talking about a resurrection. Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, and who is still alive today at the right hand of the Father. And today, we're going to be reading a passage of Scripture in the book of Luke. Luke is in the New Testament. It's the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to ask that you turn over there. And as we read this passage in Luke chapter 24, there are three things that you're going to see today. You're going to see the problem of the resurrection. And some of you are going, is there a problem with the resurrection? Yes, there was a problem. And we've got to deal with it. You got the problem of the resurrection. You've got the proof of the resurrection. And then you have the power of the resurrection. So Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to ask if you would please to stand in honor of the reading of God's word today. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you don't have it, you can see it on the screen behind me. Verse 1, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man might be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them who told these things to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We know that there is power in your word. There's no power in anyone else's words except yours. And so today we would ask that you would make them strong, that you, Father, would cause dead men to come to life, that you would take blind women and make them be able to see spiritual truth because of the power of the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who is alive today. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. You know, in 1988, I was dating a girl named Amy Mayfield. My hope was is that Amy Mayfield was going to become Amy Goen. Just to kind of cut to the chase, I won. Yes, she did become that 31 years later. I remember, though, Amy, well, she was a cheerleader in high school. She was an athlete. And from all the jumps, all the things that happens in cheer and all those kind of things, she hurt her knees and some ankles. And so I remember we had already talked about the possibility of, hey, what would it look like for us to get married? You know, guys, just so you know, you want to make sure you know the answer to that question before you ask it, all right? And so we had a little discussion about all that, And we began to talk, and she was telling me about this, her ankle that kept giving her problems. And she said, you know, when we get married, I want to make sure that I get this ankle fixed. I said, oh, no, you're on your daddy's insurance. We need to do that now. Smart right here. So she goes to get her ankle fixed, and I was going to try, you know, being the good boyfriend, I'm going to go with her. I showed up at her house at 4:30 in the morning. I was dedicated. And I also had an ulterior motive here, all right? Show up. We were going to go to downtown Dallas, to Baylor Hospital. And we get in the car. Her parents are following in the other car. That was a little awkward. But I had to go to school. I had work, all those kinds of things. I wanted to be there with her for the beginning of that surgery. And so we go. She goes in. I go in to see her beforehand. Listen, it's an ankle, but it felt like a heart surgery to me. You know, here's this woman that I want to marry. And she goes off. They take her off. We go. Her parents say, let's go down to the basement. The basement's where the cafeteria is. We're gonna eat breakfast. So we get down there to eat breakfast, and like they're bacon and eggs. They're a farm family. I mean they're sausage, I mean eating toast, all that kind of stuff. I get a donut. And I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know if I can even eat this donut. I start kind of chewing on it. They're steady eating. And I say, Mr. and Ms. Mayfield, I really love your daughter, and I would love to be able to marry her, and I want to know if you'll let me. They never looked up. They just kept eating the eggs. At some point, they raised up, and we had a really good conversation. Now, a lot of you men, you've had that conversation. You've had to go and have that. Some of you who are dads like me, you've had that conversation come to you, and that was really awkward also. We ended up having an incredible conversation. Obviously, we got married 31 years later, but here's what I can tell you. That 30-minute conversation, that 1 hour, whatever it was, that breakfast, because it's all a blur now to me, changed my life forever. Everything is different because of that little bit of time right there. I mean, I don't live like I did prior to that conversation. That conversation changed everything. That's very much what happened here in this passage that we just read. Look at it with me if you don't mind. You had these ladies who they had watched Jesus be crucified on Friday. They had seen him, his body torn apart. They had seen him taken down off the cross. They had seen him taken away. In fact, they knew where the tomb was. They watched him be laid in that tomb, wrapped in a shroud on a cold stone concrete slab. That's where they laid him. They rolled the tomb over. So here they are, though. The scripture says they're coming back to the tomb. Listen, they had an expectation. In fact, they had even prepared some things, spices. They had planned they were going to go, and now they're executing that plan. But you realize they had a real big problem, don't you? The problem was is that when they got there, the stone that they expected to be closed was rolled away. When they got there and they would look in, there's no Jesus. You see, they expected Jesus to be in that tomb dead, laying there. Why else? They had prepared all the spices. They were going to anoint his body. But when they got there and they looked in, they realized, uh-oh, something's different. Something, this is not what I was expecting. Today, listen, some of you, you've come here with all kinds of expectations. This is what you do on Easter. We're going to talk about, we're going to sing some songs about resurrection. There's going to be a guy who's going to preach a really long message. I'm not. I'm going to blow you away here. He's going to do this. You've come with all kinds of expectations, but here's what I want you to hear. You've come here because the Spirit is expecting to do a work in your life today. He has come and wants to radically change your life today. That is why you've come. Could you imagine being these ladies who watched and saw all of these things happening, and then they show up at the tomb? He's gone. He's not here. They look in. I see the clothes. I see it all here. Their mouths probably dropped, looking at each other. Maybe even some tears. And then the scripture tells us, look at verse 5. There are two men. They are identified as angels. They say, what are you doing here? Why are you even here? Look what he says. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Listen, he's alive today. He is still alive today. They went expecting to find him dead there. And he said, no, listen, remember, ladies, he's already told you this. He told you while y'all were still in Galilee that this was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, ding, yes. Oh, yeah. This is what happened. These ladies who were at that tomb, I need you to know this. Their lives were radically changed by that one moment. They couldn't help but be changed, because they saw an empty place, empty robes, two angels. What? I've had conversations with them. The scripture tells us that they then took off and they went to go to find the disciples, because they had to tell somebody, because everything had changed. You see, today you and I have the exact same problem that those ladies had. You know what the problem is? Is that the tomb is empty. Jesus has been resurrected. The stone is rolled away. And if Christ is our Lord, if we say he has changed our lives, that means everything about us should be different. That's a little quiet. Yes, amen. Everything should be different because of that stone being rolled away. There's a pastor in New York City. His name is Tim Keller. He wrote a book called The Reason for God. And I want to read a quote out of that. I think it summarizes really well what we're trying to point here. It says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything he said? You catch that? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, church, friends and family that are here, I want you to hear this. If Jesus Christ is alive today, if the resurrection truly happened, if we say we've submitted our lives to him, then that means everything about our lives is changed. That day changed everything. Those ladies, their lives changed that day because of what they saw and what they experienced and what they understood. And then they had to go and tell somebody about it. And they were trying to prove it. You had the problem of the resurrection. Let me talk to you for a moment about the proof of the resurrection. Here they go. They take off. Their lives are different. They can never be the same. Everything about them has changed. And all of a sudden, they run to the upper room where the disciples had been hiding, literally been hiding since then. Where they had the Lord's Supper, they all went back there. They were afraid that someone was coming after them. The scripture says they ran to the disciples, and the disciples, when they begin to hear the story, they begin to think, these ladies have been in the vineyard a little bit too long, if you know what I mean. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. The disciples saw their friends who came to them, who walked with them, who was with Jesus. They all, the disciples who all ran when Jesus was crucified, these ladies are the ones that were there. They saw it. And they've come and they said, listen, we've seen an angel. The tomb is open. And they said, you're crazy. You're crazy. Today, some of you in here, you're probably thinking the exact same thing as the disciples. And what I'm talking to you right about right now, you may be going, oh, Jesus, yeah, he's a good moral teacher. Yeah, in fact, he's kind of like my life coach. I listen to what he has to say. He's you know, he's a pretty good dude, but died and rose again. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. If you're like that, I need you to know the scripture that I just read said the disciples thought that also. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says that at that moment, Peter then rose up. Peter got up. It says, and then he ran to the tomb. If you go over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, his account in John 20, John says, hey, I'm a little faster, literally. He said, I'm a little faster. I made it to the tomb first. He got there. It says he looked in. He saw the grave clothes. He saw that the face covering had been folded up and laid down. That this is over. I'm out. Hey, I'll be back. But this is done. The scripture goes on back over in Luke 24, 12. It says that Peter, he ran, he looked in, and he marveled. He marveled. What? He's gone. Is he alive? Yeah, he said this would happen. Is he really alive? John in his gospel says that he looked in and he believed. Peter, he went away thinking, oh my gosh, it's happened. Do you know what the point here is? Is that they looked in and they believed. Their lives were changed forever. How do we know that? Because these were the dudes, these were the guys, these disciples. They're the ones that on Friday when Jesus was put on the cross, they scattered like rats. They weren't even around. Yet when they realized that Jesus has risen from the grave, when they saw him, their lives were radically changed. So much so that they even died for the gospel. Listen, you may take a little beating because you're foolish. You don't die for a lie. These guys stood in their place. Why? Because they had seen, they had experienced, and they believed. And today I'm calling you, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. I've already asked the Spirit, would you open eyes today? Would you help people to know that the proof of the resurrection is true and right? You realize I can't do that. That's only a work of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. He's the one that saves. He's the one who takes dead men, makes them alive. He's the one that takes women who cannot see and he helps them to see. That's what the scripture tells us. You know, the Bible is full of other proofs. I mean, things like the stone was rolled away and it had been sealed and was being guarded by the Roman SWAT team, the commandos. And yet they said, we don't even know what happened. We don't know what happened. In our law system, like our law system, if you have one eyewitness to something, it's a pretty good, I mean, that's a pretty good solid case. In the scripture, it was told that you needed to have two witnesses before you could bring an accusation. The Bible says that over 500 different people, catch that, 500, they saw him, they ate with him, they talked to him, they touched him. Listen, when 500 people, at some point, if it was a lie, don't you think someone would start singing like a bird and going, no, that didn't happen. Listen, 500 people saw him. That's proof. The resurrection has happened and people's lives have been changed forever because of that. But I want you to see the power of the gospel. I have a friend who's a part of LifePoint. His name is Tony Dunius. He attends the LifePoint Smyrna campus. Every week sits right down front, right here. Tony's life has been changed. His family is instrumental in the starting of our Hispanic ministry, of our ESL ministry, and our translation ministry. I want you to see the power of the resurrection and what it can do in your life, like it's done at Tony's.
My name is Tony. I'm from Peru. I lived there almost my life because I'm here just a couple years in Tennessee in USA. Now I'm a chef too, but I'm a welder too. So dancer, chef, and a welder, but yeah, that's me. When I was a little boy, I always feel that I'm different to other boys in my neighborhood, in my school, actually in my family too. But I always feel different, different to my father, different to my cousins, different to my friends. In the middle school, I'm the most lonely guy in my classroom. I always feel I'm not like a girl and I'm not like that boy, so who I am. I always be confused about me. So I start to feel same attraction for other guys like me. So my family was a really Catholic family. I decided to go to the church, to the Catholic church, because I think maybe there I can change. So I'm into to that church like almost 5 or 7 years. But I always feel the same thing inside of me. So I start to think, I know I can change. So maybe that's not for me. So I decide to go away from that church. So my mom and my dad have a divorce and she moved to USA. So I'm start to live alone with my sister in my country for the first time. I always feel that my homosexuality, it was part of me. So I can change that. I don't want that because I always have that feeling. I never want to be a homosexual man in my life, never. I always think that it's not a good thing for me. And nobody can change that. So I just accept that. And I say, okay, that's you. So you have to deal with that and live your life. I live that life almost 7 years of my life. I'm start to have a panic attack or anxiety attack. And in the meantime, my mom received Jesus in her heart for the first time here in USA. And she started to preach me about the love of Jesus. They always scream, hallelujah, amen. And I say, those people are really crazy. So, well, if my mom is happy, well, it's good for her. So I respect that. But then my sister come to Jesus. Then my brother-in-law come to Jesus. My cousins. And I say, oh my God, all my family is crazy now. What happened with my family, you know? And one day after work, my mom lives in USA and I'm in Peru, and she shared with me, it was a Hillsong video, the song called With Everything. And I decided to, okay, I played that video. And when I start to see that video, I remember like too many young people with crying, with a hands up, like worship God. And it was really beautiful when I see that. And I don't know why, but I start to cry a lot. Cried and cried and cried and cried. And I understand why I'm crying. I just watch a video. And I notice a message from my mom, and she say, when I see that video, I always see your face, worship God. And I say, well, yeah, looks really good. Looks really good. It was really beautiful, but that's not for me. Oh, I'm not for that type of life because I'm gay. And I said, I can, because the word of God say that I can live my life with another man. So it's not for me. It's beautiful. I feel touched, but it's not for me. And I always remember that part of my life because I think that was the beginning of the plan of God in my life. So I continue with my life, and my relationship with that guy, it was worse and worse and worse. I start to take pills for sleep because I cannot sleep in that time. Then I always listen to my mom and my sister, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, everything in the name of Jesus. Mom, why you always say in the name of Jesus? Why? And she say, because the name of Jesus have power. Everybody say that your name have power. So change me, because I can't change, but you can do that. But change my life, because I don't want anything about my life. I don't like my life. I hate my life. I hate my feelings. Yeah, and I can change. But everybody say that your name have power, so do it something for me in my life. Please, take my life. I don't care. It was really the first experience of peace in my life. Like, I don't need anybody. I don't need my mom, my parents, my relationship. I just need Jesus. So, in that moment, I decided to follow Jesus, but I still to feel same attraction, because in that moment, I think the power of Jesus is like a magic. It's like, oh, you can change. Okay, change. But I didn't know in that moment that it's not in that way, you know? It's like, okay. But I tried to change, to don't think about that. I not consumed for 2 years pornography, sex, anything. 2 years after that, I'm start to feel weakness in my flesh. Like, I can't do that anymore. I try it, but I can't. So I'm start to listen that little voices of my past saying, you can do that. You know, I tell you, you can do that. That life is not for you. You don't belong here. So go to clubs again, drink alcohol again, smoke again. Decides to, okay, you still feel the same attraction. So go for that. After a nightclub, when I with my old friends drinking and share material things, I called a Uber taxi, and the driver was a Christian. He started to preach me about the love of Jesus. And part of me want to hear that. And part of me want to, no, please don't say that. So then I start to dating with a guy, because I try to back to my life. And he decides to introduce me to his family. And he said, that's my mom. Mom, he's Tony. And his mom start to preach me, because she was a Christian too. And she said, I know my son is like he is. I not agree. I love him, but I not agree, because God say that it's not good, but I love him. And God love you too. And I remember put my eyes and say, really, God? It's like, please let me go. I didn't know that I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. I think that if I try to go away from him, maybe I can live my life. But until one day, I was in United States, in Tennessee. And I feel really confronting myself, like, you know, Tony, it's time, stop that, like, you have to stop your life, your thinking, I love you like you are. I don't want that you change, I want to change you. I don't want to do that you do anything. I do everything for you. Actually, I die for you in that cross. Remember that. I'm dying for you because I love you. I don't need anything about you, just your heart. Remember that. And the Holy Spirit like confronted me really deep. And I don't know, one day I wake up and I say, what are you doing, Tony? What are you doing? You're a child of God, you belong to him. And he started your process like 2 million years ago, but you think that you can do that, but you can do that. No, for your strength, for his strength, because you're weak. But the word of God say that his power show in your weakness. So actually, be a weak guy is really good. I'm starting to feel weak because my goal was be a heterosexual man, because I don't want to be homosexual. So God change me, please. I want to be heterosexual man. But it's not that. It's not that. You just recover your identity. You are created for love me and follow me. That was you are created. So now, that's my identity. Jesus is my savior. Jesus is everything, my friend, my brother, my everything. Like the song when I listened the first time. With everything. Now he is my everything.
Folks, that is the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. It's not me pulling myself up by my bootstraps. It's not me working harder. It's Christ who's already worked. Did you hear what he said? There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Saving power, healing power. Some of you in here today, you've been trying to change yourself. Some of you in here today, your marriage is dead. I want you to know, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the resurrection, your marriage can be alive today. Some of you in here, you have been struggling with addiction after addiction after addiction, and I need you to hear this. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that will change you. Parents, there are some of you in here, you've been trying to change your children, whether they're small children or adult children. Did you hear that his mom, his sister, his family, they just began to pray, to speak the name of Jesus, to point to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit began to work. And he uses all kinds of people, doesn't he? Even when Tony tried to walk away and said, because of his confliction, do you hear what he said? He said, why don't you just let me go? And he said, the Holy Spirit said, no, you belong to me. That's exactly what I want you to hear tonight. There are some of you in here today, you've been running and you've been running and you've been running and you've been running, and you think you're getting a long way away. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is right there. And he is speaking to you today, and he has brought you here. Your expectation of cruising in, getting a meal, and going on. I need you to hear this. His expectation is he wants to change you today by the power of the resurrection. Oftentimes, our gospel stops with Jesus' death on the cross. But do you realize that 1 Corinthians 15 says that the power is in the resurrection? And without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins. And he says that if there's no resurrection, then we above all should be pitied. But I want you to hear this. Jesus is alive today. And before you were ever born, he had already planned and orchestrated that you would be right here today. And today, you think your life is so messed up, but the power of the resurrection can change everything. You could leave today And this day, because of this day, because of Jesus Christ, everything about everything else will be changed. In just a moment, we had a young man. We baptized a man in the first service. In just a moment, a young man named Landon is going to come and be baptized. These waters don't save him. What saves him is when he met with CJ and Zeke and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to see a video. And as we're singing, you're going to see baptisms that have happened since November across our campuses. Those baptisms don't save people. Jesus is the one that saves. The baptism lets the world know that I am different today because of the power of the resurrection. Here's how I want to end today. It would be a shame. It would be a crime. It would be wrong for you to hear the gospel, to see a picture of the power of the resurrection, and you not have an opportunity to respond. And here's how we are going to do that today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to be standing down here. CJ's going to be standing down here. If you want someone to pray with you, we want to do that. If you want to come and just kneel at this altar, you have the ability to do that. If you want to turn around right in your seat and get on your face before the Father in your seat, you have the ability to do that. But don't leave without responding to what the Spirit is leading today. At the end of that time, it's just going to be what you're hearing right now is what it's going to be. If you need to get out, you just kind of say, hey, excuse me. People will get out of your way and let you go. We want to minister in any way that you need today. Father, we love you. We honor you. We magnify you. I ask right now that if there are those in here who need to come, that you would prompt that. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.